So I was praying before I fell asleep. I said, Lord, where are we going next? What are we talking about? How do you want to go? Silence. Not in here, but silence in my head, right? And as I was getting ready to fall asleep, that graphic came into my head. The colors, the letter design. And when I kind of came to and was thinking, the Lord said, we need to talk about the hot topics. We need some biblical perspective for political issues today. Okay? Here's what you're not going to hear. You're not going to hear support for any one candidate, any one issue. Okay? What you're going to hear is biblical perspective for political issues. Okay? Now, here's also what you need to know. If your ideology does not align with biblical perspective, what should you do? Change your ideology, because you are wrong.
Amen.
Because we weigh everything against the Word of God.
Right?
Those are some bold words starting this morning, aren't they? But that's okay. So today we start a new series, and it is important for us as believers to hear and understand what we're talking about over the next few weeks. And we are going to cover some hot topics. Today is not so much a hot topic, but it is the start of the hot topics. And so we are going to cover over the next few weeks the hot topics that are in the United States today, what's on the ballot this fall, and we are going to apply a biblical perspective to these political issues. And I believe now more than ever, it's more important that Christians today stand up and vote than ever in our history. And so today we're going to discuss the importance of being informed. So before you vote, you should be informed, should we not? Should we not have knowledge of what we're voting on? So it is our duty to be informed about the issues today and understand the importance that we carry as Christians to cast our ballots. And as Christians who live in the United States, we have the awesome right to vote in our elections. That's not the case everywhere, but we have that right. And guess what? Because we have that right, we should vote.
That's right. Amen.
We should show up and we should vote in our elections. And I'll start by submitting today that indeed it is your duty and your responsibility as a Christian to vote.
Amen.
But in order to vote, you must first be informed about the issues and what the Bible has to say against those issues. Here's a quick stat for you today. In the United States, in the most recent elections, about every two of every five self-professed Christians took that right for granted and did not vote. Two of five did not vote. Out of those five, about one in five self-professed eligible Christian are not even registered to vote. So if you know some friends that are, frankly, anybody, but especially Christians, but if they're not registered for vote, you should help them get registered to vote. It is the most consequential thing that we have as Christians today, is to take part in our government. And in fact, I'm going to show you how this ties in biblically. So if you have your Bible here today, would you open it to our main scripture, which will be on the overhead. And if you don't have your Bible, don't worry about it. You can share with somebody next to you or turn your attention to screen. If you would, open your Bible this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Ready? We're going to roll on here. Romans chapter 13, 1 through 7, it says this: let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resist what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. Don't we all love paying taxes? For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Respect to whom respect is owed. And honor to whom honor is owed. Caleb, could you go grab me a glass of water, please? Thank you. I'm getting scratchy as I'm talking here already. Romans 13, 1 through 7, what we just read, it teaches us that God has established government. It is his institution. It is not our institution, but rather his. And so because of that, we should respect it and we should engage responsibly. We should take an active part in our government. So many Christians today say, I need to be disengaged from government because it's ugly, it's gross, I don't want to get involved. Well, guess what? There's no better place for a Christian to be involved in.
Amen.
Okay? So while the scripture does not directly mention voting, what it does is it encourages us to be good citizens. And to be good citizens, we can vote, which allows us to influence who leads and allows us to choose leaders who will pursue justice and righteousness. And just as the passage that we read talks about fulfilling our civic duties like paying taxes, voting is another way to contribute to the common good and to ensure that government reflects the values that we have, which are our biblical principles that we stand on as Christians today. I also would like to read this verse, Matthew 22, verse 21, and with emphasis on the second part. And so, and most of you will know this, if you don't, go read verse 19 and 20 beforehand here so you get the context. But they said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Okay? So this verse, Matthew 22, verse 21, Jesus is teaching about the balance between our responsibility to the earthly authorities and also to God. So when Jesus says here, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, Jesus here is acknowledging that we have obligations both to the government, which is represented by Caesar, and also to God. We have obligations to both. And voting is part of our responsibility to Caesar. Voting is part of our responsibility in the government. And it's our way as a people to engage in the political process. Thank you, sir. Who likes cold water? Oh, that's good. So voting is our way to engage in the political process while still keeping the ultimate loyalty to God's kingdom. You do not have to be unloyal to God in order to cast a vote. You follow what I'm saying here this morning? It reminds us to participate in our civic duties, like voting, while living out our faith. Now, if you are not old enough to vote in here, listen, this is still good things for you to hear, okay? You will come of age at some point where you will cast your vote. Who's 18 in here? So we got some first-time voters. Do you turn 18 before the election?
I wish.
Okay, well, the next cycle. But listen, it is important for us to be involved. And so let's look at these two verses because we've just really kind of laid the foundation for God's creating the government, it's his institution, and then our responsibility to take part in that government. And so here's really what we need to grasp from these three verses today. You can write these down here. I'll have them on the overhead. The first one is this. Voting is an opportunity to influence the government towards righteousness. Proverbs 14:34, you can write that down. Proverbs 14:34, it says this. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So don't we want to be righteous? So why would we want to influence the government towards righteousness? Why would we want to do that? Well, because the less we vote as Christians, guess what happens? The more wicked our nation becomes. Now, I will submit to you that things are going to get a whole lot worse before Jesus comes back and takes us home. We all know that. If you've read Revelation, you know the end is coming. We know that the world is just going to go south real quick. But guess what? Until that time comes, we have an opportunity to have an impact and a say on our government. Okay? So the less we vote as Christians, so if that 2 out of 5 turns to 3 or 4 out of 5, the less we vote, the more wicked our nation will naturally become. The leaders that we elect or the leaders that we do nothing to remove who have a significant impact on our rights, do we not have rights that are awesome and far above any other country in the world today? I fully believe that we do, and maybe we shouldn't, but we do because of how our government was created. But what these leaders can do is they can either lead us toward righteousness or they can lead us toward moral disaster. Okay? So as Christians who know the truth, whose hope lies in Jesus, not in government, we should want the nation to move towards righteousness.
Amen.
Do you want me to repeat that? Let me repeat it for you. As Christians who know the truth, if your hope lies in Jesus, if your hope lies in Jesus and not in Uncle Sam, who knows Uncle Sam's going to let you down every single time, right? Okay, come on. If your hope lies in Jesus and not in government, you should want the nation to move towards righteousness. That's a heavy word, isn't it? So as we prepare to vote, we want to move the government and the nation towards righteousness. Here's the second thing we do. We must pray for wisdom and discernment before casting our vote. James chapter 1, verse 5, write that down. James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, what does it say? Let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give you wisdom. See, when we weigh the candidates and their policy beliefs, we must vote as led through our prayer and through the study of both God's Word and the realities of the choices on the ballot. Is it not important to have a full understanding of everything that's taken place? Candidates or proposed policy that violate God's commands for life, family, marriage, or faith, guess what? Should never be supported. I'll repeat that. Candidates or proposed policies that violate God's command, not your feelings, God's commands, if they violate His commands for life, family, marriage, or faith, should never be supported. What does this mean? Essentially, what I'm trying to say here is God is not going to lead you to vote for a person or a policy that contradicts Him or His Word. Right? So, while we must seek wisdom and ask God for direction, we trust that the Holy Spirit, we are a Pentecostal church, we believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen?
We believe that the Holy Spirit is with us, He lives in us, He guides us, He's with us every day, every moment, and He will guide us if we are willing to listen and hear Him as we investigate and we seek to gain wisdom on the policies and on the candidates, and if we would just listen, we will get that guidance that we need.
That's right.
Remember that God does not contradict himself or his word. He cannot contradict himself. In today's world, we like to listen to the media. Well, actually, if you look at the ratings now, did you know that news media is like down here now for trust? And did you know that social media, I love that Kev's here today. And did you know that social media news is rated up here? Influencers. It's true. Look at the data. And so in all of this is what I'm trying to say. Don't listen to the news media pundits. Don't listen to the social media influencers who come out and give their opinion and attack candidates or policies and this and that. As I think that we can all agree today that we have seen that truth in today's world, while still should maintain objectiveness, guess what? It's not. Truth is subjective today. It shouldn't be, but it is. And so in today's world, truth is subjective. So you need to know who you are listening to.
Amen.
You need to understand what news station you watch. Listen, there's far left, there's far right, there's far crazy and far not crazy. Okay, let's just all agree that everybody has an agenda. It's true. And so if everybody has an agenda, would it not do us good to listen to both sides? If we're going to be educated, should we not be challenged in our thinking? But we should also look at the evidence and not take someone's opinion or someone's interpretation as the gospel truth. So if we agree that we know that we want to move the nation and government towards righteousness, I think that that is the call of a Christian to... We all should have that feeling right now as we want to see the nation become more righteous. We want to see people come to know the Lord Jesus, right? We pray for revival. Do we want it? It starts with all these small things like moving our nation towards righteousness. We also know that we need to seek wisdom and discernment about the policies, the candidates. We must also seek, this is the third one, we must seek candidates and policies that align with biblical principles like justice, compassion, and truth. Micah 6:8, it says, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" As born-again believers today, as individuals who worship Jesus, we should strive to choose leaders who will themselves be led by God. We should choose individuals who are willing to submit to the authority of God. And perhaps, listen, perhaps none of the candidates are willing to be led by God. Is that not a real thing that we face? And perhaps none of the candidates are willing to submit to the authority of God. Barely will even mention him. But as we've read, if you've been doing our Bible reading plan, we have read through the whole Old Testament today. We finished it. But through Kings and Chronicles, did we not see time and time and time again, evil king after evil king after evil king after evil king? And what did the Lord always say of those kings? They did evil in the sight of the Lord. Does that mean God did not still place them in the authority position? Because if we read the whole Old Testament, we see God had a plan all along, don't we? Right? And so, but we see all of these evil kings after evil kings. And there's a sign in Oskaloosa that says there's no good candidates. And I won't finish saying what the rest of the sign says. Joel sees it every morning driving to work. There are no good candidates, 2024. Okay? Listen, I have a quote that I want to share with you from John Stone Street. This is in an article that the Franklin Graham Association put out on voting. And it says, instead of not voting or simply casting your ballot for the lesser of two evils, vote to lessen evil. Let's say that one more time, because I think we have been too focused as Christians today to vote for the lesser of the two evils. But if we want to move our nation towards righteousness, should we not vote for the candidate that is going to lessen evil, not increase evil? Okay? So instead of not voting or simply casting your ballot for the lesser of two evils, vote to lessen evil. While one candidate may not make a difference, several candidates who align and move towards righteousness, guess what? That can have a huge impact. Okay? So while it's true that we can't move the country towards righteousness in a single election, I don't care who it is, there's not one candidate who is going to turn the country around and have righteousness be the purpose of the government, right? We cannot move the country to righteousness with a single election, but here's the truth of it. We could very well lose it with a single election.
Amen.
If 2 out of 5 Christians don't vote, we could very well lose everything that we still do have today and never see it again. So here's our responsibility. We must vote for righteousness, period.
Amen.
We must vote for righteousness. That is what the ballot is about this year, is we must vote for righteousness. This is not just for the office of the president. I know that it's presidential election this year. Trust me, I know. I see all the ads. I see all the stuff. But this is also for Congress. This is also for your state government. This is for your local city and county government. This is for your school boards. It is for everything that is able to be voted on. We must vote for righteousness. Period. Okay? Christians cannot remain silent, because silence will only end with governed silence. Kids, if you don't understand what I'm saying, ask your parents after church. Okay? Silence will only end with governed silence. And that is a very real reality that we face today. As Christians, while we are responsible for engaging in our civic duties, like voting, our ultimate citizenship is where? Heaven. It is not here. There comes a day when Jesus comes, he parts the clouds, he comes on a cloud, he says, come home, children, and guess what? We're out of here. That was a praise the Lord moment, by the way. I, for one, am very much looking forward to that day. However, we have a lot of work before we get there. There are 3.1 or 3.4 billion people in the world, like 12,000 some people groups, who have never heard the name of Jesus. And if we're to piggyback off of Dusty's excitement last week, we got a lot of work to do. Come on.
Amen.
We have a lot of work to do. So our ultimate citizenship is in heaven. And we know that Jesus didn't come to establish a political kingdom, did he? They thought he was. They let him in. And they thought he was going to establish his kingdom right there. But here's what Jesus did. He came to offer salvation through his death and his resurrection. Not a human, or not an earthly kingdom, but a heavenly kingdom. So this means that our hope does not lie in the political systems or political leaders, because we know that they're all terrible and they all lie.
That's right.
Thank you, Ken. Our hope does not lie in political systems or leaders, but in Christ Jesus alone. In Christ Jesus alone do we find hope. Do we find fulfillment? Do we find completion in our life is through Christ Jesus? And do you know that He reigns as the true King over all governments?
Yep. That's right. Amen.
The gospel transforms how we should engage with the world. The gospel should change us here. And then everything we do with engaging the world, it calls us to love God and to love our neighbor. It also should shape how we vote, not for personal interest, but for justice, compassion, and righteousness. While voting is important, we must remember that true salvation. I think people kind of blur these lines here because they have placed government on the side of Jesus. Like they tie salvation and the government all together, and it's not. While voting is important, we must remember that true salvation and change comes not from the ballot box, but from the cross of Jesus Christ. Our confidence is in Christ's finished work, because what did He say on the cross? It is finished. That means it's done. It's once and for all time that all people might come to know Him, be forgiven of their sins, have everlasting life, and live submitted to Him as Lord and Savior in their life. It is finished. That means once your sins are forgiven, guess what? Forgiven. See, God, He doesn't have a mind like ours. What does our mind do? We might forgive, but do we forget? He forgets. He forgives as far as the east is from the west. And guess what? That's an immeasurable. Cannot be measured. So, let's just side note. Don't hang on to your past. Because if you have been blood bought, guess what? It is finished. Is that not the greatest news that we have today? It is finished. So it is in Christ's finished work, not in political outcomes, that we find our hope in.
Right.
See, the gospel, it compels us to be salt and light in the world. It calls us to be active participants, including politics. It calls us to be involved. But it also reminds us at the same time that the ultimate hope is only in Jesus and not in any government institution. Why? Because government institutions are created or are run by man, and is man perfect? We are a flawed people, aren't we? It is only by the grace of God that we receive forgiveness of our sins. It is nothing that I did. It is nothing that you did. Like our free garage sale, it is a free gift. God freely gives His grace to us. And so, if we vote wisely, if we vote responsibly, we can see things move towards righteousness. If you look in Chronicles and Kings, when a king who turned towards Jesus, the first action they took was to call the whole nation to repentance. To get rid of all the false gods, the idols, the altars, everything that they did, and turn back to Jesus. I hope and pray for a day for a candidate who stands on stage and the first thing out of their mouth is to give glory to God and not in their capabilities.
Amen.
That on day one, they call for a day of repentance as a nation, and the nation would respond. I think that we vote to move the nation towards righteousness. If we vote towards righteousness, it might happen. It might happen. So, we vote wisely. We vote responsibly. But our trust is not in government. It is our eternal hope found in Christ alone. Period. A church that remains disinterested, a church that remains disengaged or uninformed, we like to call being uninformed ignorance. Okay? Uninformed is a church that cannot truly have an impact on the life outside of these walls. We must understand and know the questions that are being asked, the answers that are being given to those questions, if we want to be effective at engaging our community for Jesus. People who are broken and hurting, they look for what? Hope. And when the church does not show them where that hope lies, they turn to the government. And then they're just grossly disappointed because it never works out the way it's supposed to work out. But we must point. They're putting their hope in so many other things. They put their hope in politics. And, well, if that person just gets voted, this is the outcome that they promised, just to find out that it had nothing to do with that, but it was a path to victory. That's it. So to answer their problems, we must point them to trust in the internal hope that comes from Christ Jesus alone.
Amen.
Period. Emma, if you want to come on up. So in closing today, as Christians, we vote because God calls us to be responsible Christians. If you are not registered to vote, go register. If you are registered but not voting, go vote. If I need to come pick you up and drop you off, I will. I can't go in with you, but I can drop you off. Okay? So, as being good citizens, responsible citizens, not only do we vote, but we also need to respect the authorities that God has established.
Amen.
Okay? So, it is our job to seek leaders who align with biblical principles of justice and righteousness, knowing that our civic duties will always reflect our faith. Or they should reflect our faith. If you would you stand with me this morning? I just got a great quote sent to me by my friend Dusty DeBoof here as I preach it. Let me go ahead and read this for you. We might use this more than once. It's from John Stuart Mill. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Thank you, Dusty. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. So, this election cycle, vote righteousness. I don't care who you like. I don't even want to talk about it. Your only conviction should be, does this candidate lead us towards righteousness or away from righteousness? Period. I don't care what's promised. I don't care how they act. I don't care. Will they move us towards righteousness or further away from righteousness? Would you bow your heads with me this morning? My question for you this morning is, who is your faith in? Where are you putting your faith? Where is your reliance? Where is your hope? Is it in government or is it in Jesus? If it's in government, knock it off. You're going to be disappointed forever. Your hope and your faith needs to lie in Christ Jesus alone. And if it isn't this morning, I want to give everybody in here a chance to respond to Him this morning. In this moment, you have a chance to respond. And whether this is in a brand new way, you have never said, Jesus, I need you in my life, or you've done it before, but you've made decisions that have pulled you away. So as a fresh way this morning, you can put all of your hope in the Lord Jesus this morning. You can experience His freedom this morning. You can experience and receive His forgiveness of your sins this morning. Listen, your life will be infinitely better. I did not say easier. I said infinitely better. Your life will be better with Jesus than never having Jesus. So will you commit your life to Him this morning? Will you submit to Him as both Lord and Savior of your life? If that is you this morning, with every eye closed, every head bowed, would you raise your hand this morning? Amen. Anybody else? Put it up, put it down. No reason to be shy. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Church, would you pray this prayer with me this morning? Now understand this, for those that raised your hand, this prayer has nothing to do with them. You could say this prayer 100 times, and as long as your heart never means it, it doesn't make a difference. It is about the condition and the posture of your heart before the Lord this morning. Not these words, but these words are a way for us to put in what our heart is feeling and submitting to the Lord Jesus. So would you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for finishing it all on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins, the ones that I know and the ones that I don't. Help me to turn my eyes towards you daily, to put my faith and hope in you alone. From this moment on, I commit myself to you. Would you be my Lord and Savior? In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I would like to report to you this morning that 2 individuals raise their hand for a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Now here's what I know. Yes, your life is going to be infinitely better, but as I said, not easier, because here's what happens now. Satan comes in and tries to steal this moment that you've just had. He's going to say, you know, you really weren't forgiven, or you didn't actually mean that, but here's the truth of it. When Jesus said, it is finished, guess what? It's finished. It's done. You are now a new creation in Him this morning. You have a freedom that people live their whole life searching for and become disappointed because they never find it, because they never found the King Jesus. And this morning you found King Jesus. So open your Bible. Pray. Ask Him to start revealing Himself to you. Ask for the Holy Spirit to fill you and to lead you in everything moving forward. When we submit our life to Him as Lord and Savior, it is not for moments in time, but it is forever. Amen? So church, I'm just starting to get fired up, so maybe we can keep going here. I don't know. So today, here's our response, okay? I'm going to make eye contact with as many of you as I can, okay? And if we lock too long, it's done. Make it weird, okay? Everybody, okay? Listen, today we can seek wisdom. Okay? Today we can seek discernment for the upcoming elections. Today, guess what? The best part, you ready? We get to seek God. We get to seek after Him and His heart this morning. We get to seek His will this morning. And it's important for us to take time to listen. Yes, there is food downstairs. I promise you, you will be fed. Nobody is wasting away in here. Let's take time. I'm serious, guys. If we want to see the Lord move in our church, in our community, in our state, in our nation, does it not begin in the church, at the altar, seeking Him? Does it not start with repentance? Does it not start by saying, more of you, Lord Jesus, and less of me? So if that's where it starts, then we have time to put that into motion today. We get to seek Him this morning. We get to take time to listen, to receive hope, gain confidence that Jesus Christ is in control of all things. Christians of all maturity, whether you just became a Christian 2 minutes ago, or you've been a Christian for the last 35 years, 50 years, whatever it is, Christians of all maturity ought to be seeking the Lord daily. We ought to be seeking after the Lord, relying on His leading, not only for the election, but just for everyday life. We need more of Him in our everyday life. And church, can we start today? Can we start that right now? Can we seek Him, His righteousness, His will, and His wisdom? And as the worship team plays, I would encourage you to step out from your seat, come to the altar, and seek Him. Now, I put this in my notes, and I wasn't going to do this today, but I feel like I need to. I would also like to pray with you today. If you need prayer, that means I need my board members or my elders or people that... I got Tim on. I need people who can pray up here with me. If you need prayer today, if you have a need, I, as your pastor, I want to pray with you. My board wants to pray. Your board, not my board. You voted for him. Your board wants to pray with you. Sorry, board, I'm putting you on the spot. We want to pray with you. If it is any need, healing, emotional, physical, I don't care. The Lord Jesus cares, and He wants to answer your prayer this morning. So as the worship team plays, while those of you come to respond, can we make this side, the side that comes up and says, I need a touch from the Lord. I need prayer this morning. Can we do that, church? Amen.